Well, President Trump has declared this a national day of prayer. And, you know, that's probably one of the most powerful and poignant, you know, proclamations he's made in his entire presidency, because he's calling on God's people to pray. And that is so, so biblical. That's amazing, you know. And so we want to honor that, and we're going to pray right now for the situation in the country and in the world, and know that God will honor that. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that we can gather together in your name, and we can gather together with power and strength, and knowing that you're our protector, you're a mighty God in all things. You have oversight of all things. And we pray for this, you know, the crazy virus that's going around. And Lord, we pray that you would just quench it and stop the flow of it right now. And that, Lord, that would just immediately, you do away with it. And we thank you that we can rest secure in you. And we pray too, Lord, that maybe even worse than the virus is the fear that it's instilled into people. And Lord, we pray that you stir their hearts to know that you are the true God, and we can trust in you, and you are powerful, and each individual can call out to you, and you are their protection. So we pray that people would be called and turn to you and see that their weakness, and that they are need help from someone greater than themselves, and that people would turn to you, and you would really manifest yourself to them. So we do pray for just to supernatural comfort to go around the people in this country and around the world. And we do pray, Lord, we just declare in the name of the Lord Jesus that this virus would end. And so we just look to you and we rest in you. I ask you also to anoint this message, Lord, and that we could see the truth of your word and be encouraged, and that, Lord, too, we would not live in the attitude of fear at any time. Anoint me that I just speak your words and hope, and anoint each person to open and receive your word. So we give all this to you, and we rejoice, and you tell your people, do not fear, and we do not fear because of you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, amen. Hallelujah. Well, the message this morning is absolute assurance. And when I was developing this message, just for your information, I had no idea thinking about the worldwide situation. Didn't cross my mind. Evidently, it crossed the Holy Spirit's mind, but it didn't cross my mind. So anyway, hopefully this would be encouraging to you as we look and see what the Lord has to say about himself. And so we're going to start off in Isaiah. And we're going to look at 55 verse 11. Isaiah 55 verse 11. And it says this: my word that goes out from my mouth, this is God talking, my word that goes out from my mouth, it shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. So, it's a real clear word. When God speaks, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And so he's really drawing that to our attention. When God speaks a word, it does not come back void. So as soon as he says it, the things that he says happens. And that's the way this whole universe functions, based on what God says. At the beginning of creation, God spoke the word and brought all things into being. See, sometimes we forget that. He just spoke it and it came into being. Now it's into being, we think, well, he can't handle it after he spoke it into being. Well, no, he spoke it into being and he can handle it while it's here. He said, God said, let there be light, and there was light. So that's typical about what God is saying here. Now here's something I want us to grab hold of and think about. Those who reverence the word of God also become avenues of the word of God. Okay? We reverence what God said, and because we reverence his, now we become avenues of what God says in our walk with him. See, God's word is for those who honor God's word. Now this thing, you know, if you don't know God, well, you're not honoring God's word. It's foolishness. Or within you, if you're some sort of religious group, and you just kind of go through it, and, you know, it kind of feels good. That's not really honoring God's word. But those who honor, these words are for those who honor God's word. It's inspired. We look at it and we take it seriously. If you will, look at Isaiah 66:5. 66:5, the first part of that verse. He goes, hear the word of the Lord. Who? Who hears it? Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word. See, this is who he's talking about. This is who he's talking about. It's like you open the Bible, you read the word of God, and you go, this is truth. I may not be able to get my arms all around it, but it is truth, and I know it's truth. And so this is who he's talking about. And so to those people who say, this is truth, and I believe it's the word of God, he goes, okay, the word that comes out of my mouth does not return void. When I say it, it happens, it accomplishes everything I mean it to. So we're paying attention. We're paying attention to what the Lord is saying to us. Now, so again, when we look at this, God's word received by us and embraced by us, then spoken by us, is as powerful as if God spoke it himself. Y'all with me? God says it, we embrace it, we repeat it, and it's as powerful as if God said it himself. So that's when we're looking at it, tremble at his word and say what God has told us, and then we know it's going to accomplish its purpose. Why? Our strength, you know, our intellectual capacity. No, just because he said it and we repeated it. We just become an avenue. We become a conduit of God's word. And it is as powerful as God spoke us. That's the reason, as believers, we are powerful. Because we believe in a powerful God and we walk with him. So it's our focus on him and our understanding of him and our relationship with him that dictates how he works through us. Because the ones who hear the word are the ones who tremble at his word. And that's what he says. He knows. He knows full well. And therefore, if this is the truth, then God tells us to speak his word with all assurance and authority, right? Just kind of logical. That's the reason that Jesus said this. This is the reason Jesus said this. You look at Mark 11, verses 22 through 23. And I put a synopsis, or a little condensed version on the overhead. Jesus answered them, have faith in God. Now, what is their issue? He's talking, they're going through life, and he says, okay, I'm going to bring you in to what I'm saying, and this is where you have to start. Jesus answered, have faith in God. Because if you do, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that whatever he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Okay, and the immediate thought is for us, or if you're like me, you say, well, I asked for a bunch of it's not happening here, now I'm asking a bunch of stuff, it's not happening here. Now, just look at me objectively. What do you think the issue is? What do you think the issue is? You know, do you think the issue is God? No, you think the... No, it's you, Wallace. We know full well what the... Well, it's the truth. It is me. But as we walk in the relationship and we grow and walk with the Lord and we start to understand what he's saying, and then we start communicating what he wants us to communicate because we're trusting in him, and he says, you just speak that mountain, and you move. Because who created the mountains? Who created the universe? God. How did he create it? Spoke. He said, so all you got to do is speak just like I spoke, I'll move it. That's the mindset that he wants us in. That's the mindset he's telling us. But the first thing, you have faith in God. So what you're doing in faith is you hear what God says and then you do what he says. That's faith. You hear and then you do what. So it's a tremendous connection with God and walking with him. Now he teaches us and we grow in that and develop. But the
point is, we have to start with that attitude of what's said before. It says, hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word. It's like, okay, this is what God says. This is what God says. So have faith in God. Speak what God puts on your heart, and it will be done. And it will be done for you. Now, okay, can you see the kind of whole picture? And what the Bible does, the Lord takes us to the point. He said, I'm showing you, this is how I view the world. This is how I view you. This is what I think of you. This is what you need to think of me. And then, therefore, in this world that I created, this is how you can move through this world. Amen? That's what he's telling us, and we understand that. And he, you know, we learn, and we, you know, walk and understand in the physical realities around us, but overall, we comprehend that God is doing something big, therefore, we are not afraid. Why? Because God's doing something, and we're in step with him. And it's like this virus is going around, and I think we should pay attention. You got smart people figuring it out. But also, you have people that don't have a solution, you know. And so what? And then also that you have a press that's hyping it up to be worse than it is. Why? So you will fear. Well, the one thing we shouldn't do is fear. We should not fear. And so that's the reason it's so interesting when you have the president say, you know, we need to have a national day of prayer. I mean, that is like so biblical, that's unbelievable. I mean, it's like that was an incredible request. And so the church comes together because that's the answer. That's the answer. Now, I want to tell you what's important, I think, about this is we process, and as I was thinking through this, now, I'm going to give you, this is my commentary. That means you don't have to pay any attention to it. But my perception is what I see here, what the Lord is showing us here, it's like, look at the world, my commentary, look at the world and look what happened. I mean, what in the world? The world is kind of going like a topsy-turvy on this. It really is, and how fast it spread. And you would think, oh, you know, and you go back into the plague, I think it was 1918, they had a flu that was going around the world. Not that, if y'all remember the 1918s, anyway, the flu. You know, the deaths were numbered in the millions. Millions, that's a flu, And it's numbered in the millions. Okay, you're going, well, I have to go Google that. I don't recall that one. See, it, and so you had these. So this is not like a first-time deal. This is stuff happen. Okay, it happens all the time. All right, so it's good. You know, you pay attention and you do right, and then you do real brilliant things to keep away from it. Wash your hands. I mean, I'm overwhelmed with the wisdom of the government. I mean, it's just the message, wash your hands. Okay. See, nobody thought about that, did they, until now. But so the thing, but what God is telling, here's what God is saying. Here you have this, and I don't want to demean this, because, you know, someone, you know, there's a death, you know, connected with it and something. It's terrible for that person and stuff. But when you look at the numbers around the world, they're just minute. They're non-existent. It's just non-existent, really, compared to 1918. They're just non-existent. Yet it's worldwide, okay, and we should pay attention to it. I'm not saying that I say, oh, that's good to know, or, you know, those things. Pay attention to it. But what is strange to me is the level of fear. The fear level is, I mean, the fear level is amazing. Now, and usually a lot of the fear level is by the press. So what I think this is, when I look at, here's the lesson I get from this. Okay, you pay attention to it, and you want to be cautious and stuff. But I almost see it, God is saying, I'm showing you something. This is kind of like a head fake. This is just a head fake. Because there are, in the script, there are going to be bad things happen that God's told us about. There's going to be bad things happen, okay? And they're going to be catastrophic things happen. And And when you look at this, you wonder, well, how could this go over the world? And God, you saved the whole world, and how would it do that? Because he did it with this. It did it with this. What if you did it and the death hold was immediately in the thousands? And, you know, they had the Ebola crisis back when, you know, I think when Obama was, and they really cracked down on that quick. But, you know, when you got Ebola, you just died. You and me had died. I mean, it wasn't, you know, it didn't spread unless you had it, because you just died. I mean, it's lethal. So now you have something like this, but it's Ebola-like. It's catastrophic. Look at the level of fear now. What will be the level of fear then? The level of fear then, and it will freeze the world. See? And so what I'm thinking is like, God, you just kind of, as a harbinger, you just kind of gave us a peek. What can happen? See, we know. And who does he tell not to fear? Church. See, it's church. And so what, and again, the church operates in wisdom. We wash our hands, you know. Like, I mean, I know y'all never would have thought of that if they hadn't told you to wash your hands, but we would have thought of that ourselves. We wash our hands, you know. But what I'm saying, the point of his, what I'm saying is God is telling us something here that, hey, it's me and my word, and your safety and your protection is in me. You need to be locked in to me and what I'm telling you, and I'm just giving you a heads up, it's going to be worse than it is now. But don't fear because of me. You know, we go along in our whole life and, you know, we just do our stuff, okay? We pay our bills and we get the kids going to school and we just do our stuff. So things just continue like they always have. God tells us, don't get sucked into the routine. Don't, because I'm going to turn this thing upside down. You need to be prepared. You need to be in tune with me. You need to be listening with me, because I am not going to let this whole world just blunder into hell without moving to change things. That's what the scripture says. So he's going to do, now we're not going to do it. Some people say, I'm going to go out and, you know, preach hellfire, damnation on the Capitol steps. Well, just go ahead if you want to. But that's not what he's talking about. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking to his people to be in tune, in step with him, hearing him. And, you know, we're the safest place. Now, this is me. I'm still in my commentary, by the way. Do you know where the safest place you could be this morning? Here. The safest place to discern, we all have our individual relations, but the safest place to come together to fight something like this is in the church. Because God presented the church to defeat. He says it as clear as day. I establish my church on myself, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. See, it's the church is the one that counters this. And that's what we have to remember and think about it. And again, we don't throw wisdom out the window. Like, I am not going to wash my hands. I'm going to rub it on every staircase I can and stick my hand in my mouth, you know, and God will protect me. No, you're not, you know, because he's going to think you're as stupid as everybody else thinks you are, all right? It's gosh. Anyway, so, but the point of it is, we have the wisdom, but yet we don't have fear. It's like, okay, all right. But we know we gather as a body, as the church comes together, there's the power. And that's the reason I think it's so fascinating when you see President Trump. He says, it's the National Day of Prayer. I want the people to pray. All right, there you go. Because that's the only thing the Bible tells you to do. That's what the Bible tells you to do, is to pray. You know, and he said, if my people would gather and pray, you know, that's what he said. And that's what I want my people, God's people, get together and pray. And this is the solution and the answer to this. Now, that's for those who tremble at the word. What about those who don't tremble at the word? It's foolish. It's foolishness. And that's what, and they'll tell you it's foolishness. All right, but they don't tremble at the word. But God is the one who is actually moving. And this is him. By the way, this is not anything we're doing. Okay, this is what God is doing. We're paying attention, and we're just getting in step with what God is doing. Amen? So that's the important thing to remember, and know that God is doing a mighty work here. Now, so what is interesting here, we'll go on, and this is fascinating, I think, in these scriptures, is not only that's what God's telling us to do, but he is extremely pleased. God is pleased when we speak his word on his behalf. On his behalf. See, and he is extremely displeased when we don't speak his word on his behalf. See? And again, back to my commentary. Now that was, okay, back to the commentary. God is pleased because President Trump said, I want God's people to pray. God's pleased with that. And as we pray for it this morning, God's pleased with that. He's pleased. That's what makes him happy. He is pleased with it, no matter what anyone says. But you know what on the other side of the coin is? He is absolutely appalled that nobody prays. He's appalled that nobody speaks his name into the situation. Look at this. And this is, I think this is really fascinating. Look at Isaiah 59:16, talking about God. Isaiah 59:16. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. See, we think, we have this idea, well, why doesn't God stop this? Why doesn't God do this? Why didn't do that? Why God let that happen? And you can ask those questions forever, and you can't come up with the answer. But what you see here is something. He goes, where are my people asking for me to intervene? Where are they? That's what he said. Where are my people asking me to intervene? And he says he's appalled. He goes, there's nobody to ask me to intervene. That's what he's saying. Now see, what that does, it makes us look at what the Lord is saying when he looks at his people. And I mean, for lack of better words, he's telling, hey, we're on the same team. We're on the same team. Ask of me because I'm waiting to do and act on behalf of what you ask. And he goes, I'm appalled. There's nobody there. There's nobody there. See, and that's what God's doing. It's like, I could do so much, but I want to work with my people, but they're not intervening. They're not doing what I ask. And he's beside himself. Look at Isaiah 63:5. God goes, I looked, but there was no one to help. I was appalled that no one gave support. God is going, what? And again, you think, you know, God created the world. I mean, he kind of, you know, he can do what he wants to do. He can do. But what he's appalled at, he goes, I don't have anybody on the other end helping out. I have nobody on the other end asking for help. And I'm waiting for people to ask so I can help. See, so what he is saying, it's the relationship aspect of that, that he wants us, the church, to come together and call on his name, and he'll do mighty things because we called on his name. So it's the relationship with us that he's interested in as much as anything else, and that's how he works within this world. Now, if you read those verses too, the last part of those verses, he goes, well, they weren't there, they didn't do anything, so I'll just bring my wrath. I just wiped the whole thing out, okay, because I hadn't anybody to help. Okay, I'll just wipe it out. So this is where it talks about the church is the salt and the light of the world. See? We're the one that's, the church is what preserves the world. And therefore, we call out to him, and then he moves. But if there's no salt and light to preserve the world, he says, just get rid of it.